You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details.
Hey there, welcome to episode 81 of Push the Point, presented by Mash Those Buttons, your source for Overwatch League news, player updates, storylines, and more. Throw us a follow on Twitter at PushPointPOD. Send us an email at PushThePoint@gmail.com. We're going to be talking about MVP, new All-Star skins, everything going on with the playoff bracket as we wrap up the year. For now, at least, we have one more month. And joining me, of course, is my awesome co-host. He doesn't like it when I use other adjectives, so we'll use nice, like, normal ones, like awesome for LeBosco.
What do you mean?
Well, because last time I called you lovable, you're like, I'm not lovable, and you were gonna, like, argue with me on it for 10 minutes.
No, I wasn't gonna argue with you. I don't know. I'm very self-deprecating, so.
You play Overwatch. I mean, that's part of it.
I guess so.
We're coming off of, by the way, a quick side note, we're coming off of a really fun Mash Those Buttons, Push the Point Overwatch game night that just happened this last weekend, which, thank goodness, because I know 2 weeks ago due to scheduling kind of got a little bit rough, but this weekend, really, really fun. Lots of good friends from a couple different places. We actually had a couple former podcast guests on with LaFon and with Bob and a bunch of other friends. I know, like, our Yankee was able to stop in, so was Totem. Lots of great people. We highly recommend you check out the next one. We'll keep you updated on when it is, because we're trying to schedule it in a way where everybody seems to be having game nights on different weekends, so we're trying to schedule it when more people can come rather than, like, double stacking with other places.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to make this, I think, a weekly thing anyways, right?
So I think every other week or so, because I think weekly you're going to burn people out.
Yeah, true. I mean, I don't know. I'm good either way with whatever we end up doing. I'm just happy to be. It's so much more fun to play with Overwatch when you're playing with people that you know than when you're playing by yourself. So I've been enjoying it regardless. So whatever we end up doing, I will definitely be happy with.
Shout outs to LaFon for going from being on 200 ping and being really good to being on 30 ping and being very scarily good to where my man was carrying games with the dumbest descend flanks I've ever seen in my life.
There was also Pills, who is a friend of ours, who is on or was on the Fighting Mongooses with us too. I think is definitely worth mentioning because he's an awesome dude.
Really fun times. It's people pop out of the woodwork for game night. It's so much fun.
I posted on Twitter too. I was like, anyone want to play Overwatch Bugs? And that I think helped to do that. Since most of the people I know for Overwatch, I know on Twitter.
I mean, I always wonder, like, what is the vacuous, just void of Overwatch Instagram like? Because it's so much of it is on Twitter that I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm sure there's probably some very dedicated Overwatch people on Instagram. So
after almost three straight episode 78s, we're back here, back on the right number track with 81.
No, I called mine 79. I called mine, so I was at least progressing.
No, you were correct this whole time. I'm just bad at numbering things. But we're here with some new topics. We finally figured out, we were finally told our MVP for the 2020 season. We had a couple of really strong candidates. I know that Carpe was high up in the consideration.
Yeah.
I know that, I don't know why now they're all vanishing from my mind, but there was a lot of different, there's a lot of really high ranking MVP candidates, but we did, as of today, get our final winner. MVP 2020 goes to Fleta from the Shanghai Dragons, DPS player. We talk about, like, the Fleta deadlift, I think, every week on here, but the man hasn't even had to work that hard.
Well, that's just it's a stat. That's what they called it, was the Fleta deadlift. So it is literally a statistical category that they have, that you can go on the stats lab on Overwatch, the Overwatch League website, and you can see, it's called the Fleta deadlift because that was a term that was coined, but basically what the stat tells you is how much did this individual contribute to, I think, the eliminations in a game? Mm-hmm. Like how impactful, it's a way to attract, like, how impactful, like, DPS players are is basically what it does. I don't know the exact way the metric is determined, but it's a very good stat in telling you, you know, how much this person carried in a specific, on a specific map. So obviously, Fleta is the one who it's named after because he was always carrying the hapless Sol dynasty back in the day when he was on Sol. So that was where the term came from that they eventually used for this category, because Fleta was always just that good. And he finally gets himself the deserved MVP that I think we all kind of knew was coming eventually. It's a known thing how good of a player he is. It was just a matter of time before he was the best player in a specific year.
Yeah. And it's so, I almost feel like he's just been playing in a completely different league this season, just because I haven't been able to keep up with Asia as intensely as I would have liked to. But he has just continued this reign of effortlessness and dominance where he looks great on almost anything he plays. And he has just been the crown jewel of Shanghai this year. We know how, like, we talk about how strong Shanghai has looked in general, but in every single meta, every single map that we're seeing, Fleta looks great. And it's a really good pick, I think, for the MVP. I think it's a very solid pick. And I heard on the Avast stream that they had Achilleos and ZP talking a little bit about the MVP selection process, in that when you're making recommendations for who the candidates are, you kind of get to make a short list of who, like, you think should be in there. And the league gives you, when you're picking the actual MVP, the league gives you, like, the options and you pick from. And they said, like, it was pretty easily unanimous between most of them that Fleta was going to be the MVP pick.
Wolf, for a long time, he, on one of his streams, I forget when it was that I went on there and was hanging out while he was streaming, but he was talking about how Fleta was his pick for MVP. Even going back and watching some games, it sort of solidified it for him, because he's been that impactful and important for Shanghai. There definitely can be a lot of discussion of how you pick the MVP, because just like look at like basketball or something, you know, LeBron James is the best player every year, right? But he doesn't win the MVP every year. Because it's about that season, and, you know, player making a splash definitely helps. There's a lot of factors that go into it, you know? So, you know, you could pick like somebody like Carpe, for example, every year. But then again, Carpe this year, there was times where he wasn't playing. Mm-hmm. He wasn't part of what made Philadelphia successful. Now, when they've been most successful, Carpe has been part of it, though. So I think that's something that makes it a good argument for him. But like, everything that Shanghai did, it revolved around whatever Fleta was doing. And I think that's part of a way to maybe separate it, as, at least for some of the other players that are on this.
And I think when we immediately talk about like what kind of skins we're expecting to see, I know people have thought about maybe I think the main ones that we've seen go back and forth are like maybe the Pharah, but most likely the Echo.
Pharah, especially Echo, kind of
to note how flexible he is at a bunch of different heroes. And it's funny, apparently he's talked about on stream that he would do an Echo skin.
I like it. So, I think it's a great idea, because maybe they'll have something really cool for Echo.
Mm-hmm. How funny would it be, they just give him the Echo skin and the Echo just has giant calves the entire time from having to deadlift some. They'll have to incorporate the deadlift part in there somehow, but I wonder how.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that when when it's a mechanical being. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe deadlift is written on it somewhere.
I love that people are like, do you guys have an idea when the skin releases? And it's like, yeah, when he leaves for Valorant.
Oh my God.
The other part that's funny is somebody linked, there's a video from Overwatch League Season 1, actually. I don't know if you saw this week, Lobo, where there's a video from Season 1 where they did a segment during Watchpoint where they sent Mr. X forward in a time machine. And no. X is in the time machine, and he's talking about how he's looking into the future, and pretty much everything he says is actually ends up being correct, almost.
Oh, really?
And like in some fashion, like not like they're all jokes, but like they are like all kind of real.
It's sort of like the Simpsons thing, right?
Yeah. So it's here, and I'm linking it for you. My bad. So he's like, hey, it's like, wow, it's so weird. I just got back from the grand finals, where the Shanghai Dragons just beat the Sol Dynasty. like 4-0. We got rid of the MVP award because Fleta was winning it so often. We just figured it wouldn't be a good idea to keep it. It was, and Doa, you're not here anymore.
Oh my
Doa,
God.
You're gone. It's just Monty casting with the XQC. So
that's funny.
That's the only one, but it's really funny just to think about, like, man, throwing that the Shanghai Dragons were like going to win the finals a couple of years ago was a complete pipe dream. And now it's actually happening. Granted, completely different rosters, but
completely different set of circumstances and everything too. But still, I mean, I don't think anybody would have seen that first year that Shanghai in a matter of 2 years would go from being the dogs of the league to being the top of the league and the team that everybody is sort of vying for, probably them in San Francisco. I don't know. I don't know if anybody beats San Francisco, but maybe the only team that has a chance is Shanghai.
I agree. Well, we'll see, because Shanghai had moments this weekend. Last thing to talk about in the news, we did get the previews, or I guess the release of the new All-Star skins for All-Star weekend that are going to be for D.Va and Reinhardt. I don't remember which is Atlantic and which is Pacific. I imagine the Reinhardt one is Atlantic, but we got a really cool Druid Reinhardt skin that I will be immediately picking up as soon as it's available. And then it's almost like an Atlantis skin for D.Va. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either. It's hard. It is hard to describe what it is as far as like, but it's cool. I like it. I think it looks really good. Like the mech, I like the white and the blue. I like blue. I don't know. I like it because it's blue. So it's cool.
Yeah, I'll definitely begin the Ryan one. I should get the D.Va one, but we'll see. I don't want to buy. I don't have to buy any more coins than I have to.
I mean, I don't really care about the Reinhardt one. I more like the D.Va one. So the D.Va one I will get. But yeah, the Reinhardt one isn't bad. I like it, but
give me the please more good Rein skins. I will take as many as you're willing to give me.
I feel like it's been forever since there was like a Rein skin too.
Because I expected one last Christmas, and they're still like, they keep pushing back Santa Reinhardt every year. They just keep pushing it back. So I think the last one we got.
Is this a planned thing, Santa Reinhardt?
No, I think it's everyone was assuming, I think, during the first like Overwatch Christmas one, like, you're definitely going to make like Reinhardt Santa, right? Like, I remember reading the Reddit boards, like, okay, like Reinhardt's definitely going to be like the Santa skin, right? And then it was Torb, and everyone's like, okay, well, that makes sense. But like, they're going to do more than one Santa skin, right?
There's only one Santa, man. And it's Torbjorn.
Well, and he does it well. Going into the brackets this week, I was able to catch up with most of this from the cabin I was in this week, and then a lot through pounding, just doing a big recap when I got home. I think, first of all, before we actually get into the regular brackets, Lobo, I'm sure you guys will talk about this with Thibble a little bit. Where do you stand on the Washington Justice's playoff run? Is it a abuse of a rule? Is it taking advantage of an unfortunate situation? What do you think?
There was abuse on both sides, right? Like, Dallas clearly abused the fact that they were, you know, I'm not going to say spiteful. I'm not going to put words into what the Dallas Fuel was feeling, but it was really bad of them to wait until after the deadline to release him. Like, that's just bad taste. So it's not great how Washington did this, but at the same time, the league let it happen. Like, I put a lot of the blame on the league because just because the rule was written that way, they could have denied it, saying it goes against the spirit of the rule. Like, there's a lot of things that they could have said to deny this, and they didn't. So I blame the league more than I blame the teams for taking advantage of something that the league made them able to do. That's not if you're going to have rules and you're not going to enforce them properly or correctly, that's on you.
Yeah.
That's on the league. Like, sure, it's not a good thing to do, but the league didn't stop them. You don't have to like it. You can call it shady. You can call it terrible. But at the end of the day, Decay's getting paid, which I think is a good thing, and is playing, and we're getting to see how great of a player he is. And yeah. And if there's one person who's not at fault for this, at least for this sort of situation to happen, it's Decay. Like, sure, terrible. You know, I have no doubt that Decay was not an angel while with Dallas and made things difficult. But that doesn't mean that Dallas was doing everything perfectly and right either. Like, both, there can be wrongs on both sides, right?
Mm.
So to me, it's one of those things where it's like, whatever, you have to deal with it now. Like, if you're a team, are you going to whine because one player made a difference that, well, this team did it. Why didn't you try to do it? Why did you try to get one of the best players? Especially, too, if this was a known thing, which obviously it was. Selfless Brad was right about something, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Why weren't other teams trying to trade for him prior to the deadline anyways, when there was all of this turmoil? And clearly, I mean, if they weren't shopping the K to get him out of there, then Dallas is just screwing up there, too.
Well, it sounds like there's rumors going around Twitter that Washington originally did try to get Decay once there was ever, like, once he started missing games, once rumors started going around that he was like sitting out. There's rumors on Twitter that they actually were trying to get him all the way back then. I think people try to use that to color the argument, like, well, so their intentions were pure this whole time. They've wanted Decay for forever. It wasn't like they just waited and saw a good opportunity. But that's the thing, is I think if you're Dallas, as scummy as it is, from a purely business standpoint, you would almost have to hold him until after the deadline to try and delegitimize any chance.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. If you're mad at Washington, then you need to be mad at Dallas, too, because it's scummy on both sides.
I think what doesn't help is that, unfortunately, you have Blizzard again releasing a hugely different patch that changes the meta very drastically right before playoffs, which kind of plays into this almost incredible situation for Washington, where they're in a low spot in the bracket. They get Decay, who is this absolute monster carry. Roadhog is viable, so you can run Jhonnu on Roadhog. Zarya is still really good, so you can run Zarya there. And they're, I mean, I'm sure you guys made jokes about it last week, but they aren't playing Roar, who I think has looked like the weak point of that team for a while. So all of a sudden, Washington looks like a heads and shoulders great team. I don't know. I think the main issue I actually have is that what needs to be changed, and I know that COVID was to blame for a lot of stuff, but it's straight up unfair that you can be Boston, you can win two games all year. You can win two games all year, and you still have a chance to move in the playoffs, even in a qualifying round.
Yeah, but how much blame do you put that onto Boston that they did well in a situation that they got to be put in? Like, that's not Boston's fault. Like,
no, that's a league issue. None of this is on the teams at all. The teams are just doing what they're going to do. Like, I'm saying that it's stupid from the league perspective to be giving teams that haven't even competed in the same realm as like most of your playoff teams all of a sudden a chance to make a run into playoffs just because everyone gets to.
Right. But that's, If they want that change, then they'll put it in. I mean, I guess what's wrong with it? So the meta changes, every team has to adapt, right? And there's metas that have played heavily in favor to the teams at the top, right or wrong, that weren't favorable to teams that are at the bottom. So the meta changes right before playoffs happen. Everybody has to adapt. Sure, you might have players that are more likely to do well in this meta on one team compared to another, but that's the situation for every single team. So if you're a team and that happens, are you going to complain about the fact that this happened, or are you going to do everything to win and prove that you are one of the best teams, that you can adapt through these things? Because if there's anything that we should learn from the San Francisco Shock, it's that being able to make yourself meta-proof is huge when the meta shifts.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, if you're a team that can't adapt and you're only good in one meta, and then the meta switches, then your team sucks. Your team's bad. Get a new team, do something better, get new coaches, whatever it might be, because you were on a house of cards, but because it looked so pretty, you thought it was great, and then everything came tumbling down because the meta changed, and you weren't prepared for it, and you didn't have the tools necessary to have a good foundation and keep your house of cards up. So to me, I don't, like, sure, it's probably immense stress on coaching staffs and everything else. I understand that. And I'm not saying that I think it's something that should happen. But what I'm saying is you can't make excuses for teams that should have made it further in playoffs, that had better records than teams that had worse records, when they should have been able to handle it better than those teams that are worse.
I get what you're coming from the meta perspective. I just don't know if I agree with the bottom four teams still being offered a seat, a place at the table, even if it's at the very bottom. Because I agree, if you're a better team, you should be able to handle those kinds of things like no sweat. My issue gets into where, what's the, like, it to me, it delegitimizes a lot of what you're playing for during the season, where you're playing all these games to establish yourself in the standings.
Now, I agree with that. That is something I agree with. But I'm saying, if it's going to happen, like, you just, as like, I want the league to have this happen? No. But I don't think the teams who lost to those worst teams really have any place to be the ones complaining about it, because, well, they do have a place to complain about it. I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, you kind of have to deal with it. It was already that way. Don't wait until you lose to complain about it when it's something that should have been complained about from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we can always hope that things aren't entirely affected by COVID next year, but we'll have to see. Going into the actual matches, we'll go through the North American bracket, and then we'll circle back to hit the Asian bracket. Starting off with the Friday games, Atlanta falls 3-0 to the Florida Mayhem. Florida just looks solid, just stacked team. We actually got to see Sharp in at the Reaper for most of that game, which I like seeing Sharp. Unfortunately, Atlanta just couldn't push through it.
Atlanta, Florida was just the better team. I don't know if they're the more talented team, but they were the better run team. That's for sure. And I do think some of the players on Florida have shown they do have a lot of talent and a lot to offer. I think BQB and Yaki has shown that they are a super, super good DPS lineup. I think Gargoyle is one of those players that's probably underrated.
Yeah.
I think Fate has shown, you know, he is a good player too. They're solid.
Fate honestly should... You could make an argument for Fate being most improved, but Fate was never awful. It was just he didn't look good in the Valiant system last year.
But that's also nobody looked good for the Valiant for most of that season. So I think that he wouldn't really be put in that argument, because he always, I thought, was playing fine anyways. But regardless of that, I mean, the Atlanta Reign, they're still a disappointment, I think, is the biggest thing to say. Like, yeah, I wanted to see them go a little bit further. I wanted to see them really challenge a team like the Florida Mayhem. And they didn't. Like, the sort of cutoff there between, like, that not the top tier, but that tier just below, kind of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And they just weren't able to really compete with those top teams the way that you would have liked to have seen. But I think Hawk is a very good player. I do still like a lot of the pieces of this team. I think talent-wise, they're still really good. I just want to know if they're going to be able to ever put it all together or not. And hey, we got to see Erster again, too, in the playoffs, which was nice to see.
For one brief shining moment. Next game, Washington Justice 3-1 over the LA Valiant. Originally, map one, this looked like a pretty solid game going forward for LA. They kind of took a strategy that we would see from other teams going forward, where they'd put a lot of pressure on Aim God and on Decay specifically, where you'd have Shax on the Tracer really just pressuring the crap out of them so that KSP could be across map and just bursting them down. But after map one, Washington just really gets in the driver's seat. It just goes forward. Stitch has an incredible game. Stitch had a great weekend in general. Like, Stitch, Tuba, all those Washington guys played really, really well. That's the thing that I think kind of gets lost, is that it's not like Washington cheated and abused their way into getting far in the tournament. They played very well in all their games.
That's the thing. Sure. What they did to get Decay and their team, you can argue about it all day, about validity and whatever else. But Decay is on the team, and Decay is a great player and just helps solidify that team even more, and showed that there is a lot of talent on this Washington team. I think that's the one thing for sure. Like, LA was this rising team that a lot of people had very low at the beginning of the year, and they proved a lot of people wrong. And they were able to make it pretty far in playoffs. Like, you think about their losses, they only lost to, in the playoffs, it was Philadelphia, and then they lost to the Justice, who were the surprise team. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was one of those things where it was like, okay, you know, for LA, it's a good showing this year. They still have maybe a couple of things that they're going to look to improve upon as far as positions, but they were a pretty good team. And for Washington, like I said, all that this has been showing for me is that they are, we have to pay attention to them.
Mm-hmm. Something to note on this as well. When Valiant tried to, a lot of teams were really struggling with the hog. Excuse me. You saw a lot of teams play mostly like a dive centric tank line where you might have a Winston D.Va. Washington staying on the Zarya hog. And it kind of became clear that for a lot of teams, the best way to fight the Zarya hog was just to match it, just to play a Roadhog on the other side. And if you're still playing those dive tanks into that, you saw Winston's getting hooked and killed all over, both here and in APAC. Like, your tank line would just be gone in like 5 seconds just because the Roadhog would just eat them up as soon as they turned around the corner, or as soon as they made the dive.
Yes and no, because if you think about it, what did Philadelphia do to beat it? They literally run on the first map. They do run the dive tanks, right? They run it on control. And then they do play the Roadhog, I think, the rest of the way. But there was still time. Like, you can still beat it with the dive. It's more about execution than anything else. At least that was the case for Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a lot harder because of the hook and everything else. You're able to deal with those divers a little bit easier. But there are still other avenues to beating that composition. And then when it's just a better composition for like a cart, because most of the comps going to be sitting on the cart.
Mm-hmm. Winner's bracket final, San Francisco Shock 3-1 over the Philly Fusion. Really, really intense game in this one. I think the best moment being Ons getting a double kill off of a dynamite after he already died.
He was so good in that series. It's like him, because it started off, it was Ivy and Hisu, and then they put in Carpe. And that's when things like got really close. I mean, the series was close throughout, but like they end up throwing Carpe in there. And now Carpe hasn't come out. Like, I think Carpe has played every map since they put him in that series, because they started running Carpe on the Ash to challenge Ons. It was like to me, the series that were the best were the two winners final series from both NA and APAC.
Mm-hmm. It was a really, really tight game. And I think that something, like, we talk a lot about how Alarm is like world beater top three in his position. Fani Astro needs to be up there as well, because Astro, I think, won significant parts for Philadelphia on Lijiang Tower on that first map. Yeah. With the boops,
some
with the placement
clutch plays. Yeah,
Fani Astro was incredible this whole series. It's the kind of, like, this is the kind of winners finals we want, like, where you have two really big, like, really big guns shooting at each other. And the 3-1 score kind of betrays it, because it wasn't like Philly got ran over.
No, it was tight throughout. It was very close. Like, a play, play here, a play there on every map could change the outcome either way. Like, the control could have gone to San Francisco, right? And then it could have been a 3-0, but a very close 3-0. But it also could have been a 3-0 for Philly, a 3-1 for Philly. Who knows? It could have been a game that ends up having to find somebody in the fifth map. It was one of the funnest series that I've seen in a long time. It was a lot of the dive tanks, right? We saw a lot of the Winston and the D.Va, but we did see a bunch of Roadhog too.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so good throughout. Like, I've really enjoyed the fact that you haven't had like one composition sort of rule over everything else. It's made it very fun to see what teams do and how they adapt to what other teams are running.
Two notes. Stryker also had an incredible game.
Yes.
We forget. Stryker is just so good all the time that you can kind of get numb to it. You forget just how good he is. And a little bit more double sniper in this match than I think we were used to seeing. I'm wondering how we're going to see double sniper in a month when we come back for the grand finals weekend, because it started like kind of poking its head out here and there at the beginning of this weekend. And we saw it make more appearances as the weekend went on.
Well, to that end, after the Fusion get dropped down, they play the Justice, and what is it that they do for their DPS? I think almost on every map except for the control map, was they do that double sniper quite a bit. or some variation of the double sniper. I think most of the maps they just played with the double sniper composition.
Before that, the Washington Justice 3-0 over Florida Mayhem. Justice, again, just a really strong, solid game. Great games from specifically Stitch and Johnny. DK had a great tournament, but Stitch really, really showed up this weekend. And I think you have people like me who were really kind of not hyped on the guy after the past couple months of performance, just with everything going on. And he really put in a clinic this weekend.
Well, he got to show you what he's best at, which is hit scan DPS.
Mm-hmm.
You finally saw something that kind of allowed him to be the best player that he is. And I think part of it, too, is he was given a lot more room to work because of Janu and Decay. And that makes it a lot easier for him to show the ability he has on a hero like that, where if you're constantly getting pressured, even if you're Carpe, you're still going to struggle. So I think that's the larger reason why you got to truly see what makes Stitch a player that was on the Vancouver Titans that was so good, and why he would come in at certain situations. And he always played great with Vancouver. And I think that's something that people forget too. And we did see Stitch last year. He always played well. And prior to that too, when he was part of Runaway. So I think it's one of those things where people just need to really appreciate that we finally got to see what Stitch can be when he's given the opportunity.
Funny enough, I think every Runaway alumni that's currently in the league, from what I remember, was in this weekend's playoff stuff.
Yeah, I think so, because you had Stitch make it to this weekend. Well, everybody who's in the league, right? You said?
Yeah, so we had Stitch, Janu.
Janu.
Hacksaw,
Twilight,
Hisu, Twilight, Slime, Gangnam Jin, Yaki.
Yeah, well, the Yaki and them are from this next generation of.
Well, that's what I was just saying. Every Runaway alumni, I think.
Oh, every single one. Okay, which is something that I wish that they kind of highlighted more on the Overwatch League website, is like where players came from for like their previous teams and stuff, or like, you know, their tier two stuff. Like, where was this player? Where was this player from tier two? You know, if they played in tier two, or even if they didn't, if they played on a tier three team, if they were in an open division team. Like, I think that'd be cool if I click on some, you know, one of the players and I get to see that information. We only really get their name and their Twitter if they have it. And yeah, they don't have that sort of stuff on there.
We only really get the history stuff, unfortunately, if they were from Envious, Element Mystic, or from Runaway, really. Like, you don't get to hear the history behind most of the other players that aren't from, like, the really, really big, like, Apex area teams.
Well, right, but I'm saying, like, even if you click, I'm talking about the website, though.
No, I'm agreeing, like, it would be so much better if, because, like, on broadcast, that's pretty much the only ones we get to hear. So if they extended that to the actual website.
Right, that would be nice. I think would be a nice little bit of flavor added to their player pages.
You were talking about it before. Philadelphia 3-0 over Washington. Really good example of just adapting to what Washington was throwing and countering it really, really hard. They focused a lot on Decay. They focused a lot on Aim God. Funny Astro has this incredible... It's not even incredible because of like it being this amazing play, but it's just so fun to watch. Booping Stitch and arc off of the ledge outside the control center on Li Jiang Tower. Just a solid, solid game from Philadelphia. Really just putting the foot down. And now everybody who is complaining about the Justice doesn't have to worry about them being in the Final Four.
I didn't think they were going to beat Philadelphia, but man, I was hoping. I thought that they were going to put up a better fight than they did. It was a bit of a disappointment how it ended for them. But I mean, disappointment in what way? Like, they got all the way to the last game possible before making it to the Final Four. So, like, I guess I can't really say it was a disappointment. I think it was just a disappointment because of how well they were playing. Because I think as far as the team over the season, like, getting that far is amazing.
Well, I think it was also made clear they really hadn't done much preparation outside of that meta. Like, they kind of had to commit to the Hog Zarya meta, because otherwise they were kind of stuck for what else they were going
to
do.
Well, and just how long the team's been together, too. It's not like they've had chances to practice other things. You know, you think about that they kind of were thrown together, what, midway through the season, as far as most of the roster. Mm-hmm. And then they add Decay at the end of the year. It was just like they were always under like weird circumstances anyways. So the fact that they were able to make it that far with the record that they have, I think is one of the cool things that we get to see, like that they are able to make a run like this. Like, because even if you're a bad team, like eventually you're going to be found out as a pretender if you win like that one lucky game, right? Like it had never happened for the longest time. A 16 seed beating a 1 seed as far as college basketball. And then I think it happened a year ago for the first time mm-hmm. in history. But then that team like Luke gets destroyed in the second round. You know, mm-hmm. like that's usually what happens to those Cinderella type teams. They don't usually last that long because they're not as talented or as good as the other teams at the top. But I think this is proof for Washington that they need to consider keeping these guys together, allowing them to grow together, and trying to add a couple of pieces to meta-proof yourself. Because, again, one of the most important things to be able to do as a team is to be able to be good in more than one meta.
I mean, you got to imagine if they can get Mag or another like good Korean main tank next year, this could be a really scary team. This could definitely be a really scary team.
Yeah, there's a few players that they can look at for sure.
My favorite copypasta was people in a vast chat and also in YouTube chat saying Corey was the problem.
My God. Imagine if they had Corey still, though, and they were like Corey and Stitch, and they were doing like the double sniper we saw the Fusion do against them at the end. That mm-hmm. would have been fun to see. That would have been awesome to see.
R.I.P. my boy Corey's Valorant. Well, Overwatch career. He's doing fine in Valorant.
He's doing fine in Valorant. His team isn't doing that great yet.
Corey's the shining star on a team once again. Going through the APAC bracket, New York Excelsior 3-0 over Guangzhou Charge. To me, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Lobo, this wasn't a case of Guangzhou like playing badly or just falling apart. It just looked like they just New York had the advantage and was just able to eke it out every time.
That was an odd one for me. Like there's a part of me that's a fan of some of the players on New York quite a bit, so I was happy to see them win. But I'm also a fan of a lot of like the players on the Charge. I think honestly this was more of a case of the fact that they were never fully able to be together as a team for such a long time to prepare that it came back to bite them at the worst possible time. Because I thought Nero came back in and looked pretty good, but you could tell that things just weren't how they were like when we saw them win one of the showdown tournaments. So to me, this was more of, man, I really wish that they didn't have the visa issues they had with their team, so we could have seen what they really could have been like here in the playoffs. I think this was just a bit of unfortunate timing. And I think that's the best way for them to look at it. I think that they're way too talented with all of the players they have on their team for this to be where they would have had this end. I think that they would have been able to compete even with a team like Seoul, who had been playing really well. So it did feel like that New York was just kind of eking them out. But I also thought that New York in that game specifically, like, figured out what they wanted to do. And they were just playing to perfection with how they wanted to play. And the Charge didn't have the best answer for it. They weren't able to take care of things. I thought Sabiolbi specifically was one guy who looked really good against the Charge.
Looking at the Charge too, I'm interested to see what happens with this team next year, because looking at like Nero's Twitter and hearing social media from like other players on the team, nobody as of right now when we're recording this is signed on for the 2021 season. Everybody's contracts are going to be up after this season. So you wonder who's going to come back, who's going to be like, if they're going to still commit to a mixed roster when, as of me thinking, I think the only like Crystal's the only Chinese player, right? Crystal and Eileen. And then,
yeah,
Nero is American and then Neptuno is Spanish. You've got to wonder if they're going to keep everybody in there.
And then a lot of the other players are South Korean, right?
Yeah.
I don't see why they wouldn't. They were such a good team. Like, again, I think that if the team didn't have the visa issues they did, like if we were in a post-COVID time, like I think that we would be talking about them being possibly in the Final Four.
Now, Houston, if Nero happens to become available, I'm begging you, whether it's Harsha or if they end up picking up DP as a coach or whoever, please go get Nero. I'm begging you. Please go get Nero.
I like how you're already putting T-Pay off of the Gladiators too.
Come to Houston. Come to Houston. You're not going to do much better, but like, just I'll take mid table. I'll take mid table for Houston instead of being garbage.
It's really gross of you to be like, I'll take mid table. I'm a Bears fan, and I even won't stoop to that.
Bears fans don't lose to the Boston Uprising.
Yeah, yeah, we don't have that. Yeah, we don't have those sort of problems. That's for sure.
Yeah, I didn't get to cover that game for the show, but Loba and I were talking about that when that game happened, and there's the state of numb frustration you hit with Houston, where you're at a certain point like, yeah, whatever, we're gonna stick to this comp, and we're gonna stick to the fair call. It's clearly a bad call here, but whatever, fine. This is Houston. You can ask me or any other avid fans. We're just like, yeah, this is about standard.
We saw it work for other teams though.
Yeah, but they were able to switch off. It wasn't the hog part. It was the we're going to stay on Pharah for three straight maps part.
But what I'm saying is we saw other teams run the Pharah successfully and really, really well. Like Pharah did work in the playoffs.
Yeah, just didn't work for Houston.
Right. And Houston just like put all their chips into it.
You know where we did see Pharah work? Profits Pharah for Seoul Dynasty versus Shanghai Dragons. Again, another one of these heroes were like, oh, right, I forgot how good Prophet is at literally every character in this game. Prophet's Pharah was ridiculous.
And for two
they
whole
still
maps,
lose 3-2, but...
But they were up 2-0.
Yes.
So it still was one of those games where you watch it and... Or sorry, was it they were up 2-1. Sorry. I thought it was a 2-0, but that's right. Shanghai did manage to win King's Row. The fact of the matter remains, though, when you're watching that, me... I've become a bit of a Shanghai fan. Seoul annoys me because they should have been this good all season, and now they're just finally starting to play well in playoffs, which good for them, but like it's such a London thing to do of them. I'm not a huge fan, but I like Shanghai.
Mm-hmm.
And it was getting annoying to the point that they so weren't focusing on the Pharah. And then they finally figured out like what they needed to do to really counter the Pharah and not have to worry about it. And then everything just turned around and then it became really tough for Seoul to compete in the game. So it was a fun. This was another really good game. Like this one to me was just as good as the San Francisco and Philadelphia one. Like I thought the two best games we had all playoffs long were the two winners finals.
Yeah, if you're going to go watch the highlights for any of the games or watch any of the full games, go back and watch Shock versus Fusion or Dragons versus Dynasty. And last game of APAC, Seoul Dynasty 3-0 over New York Excelsior. Weird performance from New York. It just didn't kind of they didn't try out the hog comp that much at all, which New York can kind of be weird about those things. From what I remember, Hog is possibly Hoppa's best hero. And I know there are people who are calling for, like, well, why didn't Jonak swap to the Zen? Why didn't we see any of the Jonak Zen? Zen's supposed to be really good this patch. But when you're running it against a Roadhog, like, it was, you're going to get picked up and, like, killed super easy.
I think the thing that got me was, who did they play against the Guangzhou Charge? As far as their DPS, they played Haxall and Nene.
Yeah.
You know, Nene was the one that they...
SCB came in for a map, I think.
But it was Haxall and Nene. Those were the two against the Charge. They didn't play Haxall and Nene at all. They did Sabiolbi and Nene. And I just don't get why...
Haxall played Busan.
No, Haxall played the entire time.
Oh.
But I'm saying it was Haxall and Nene... Not Haxall and Sabiolbi.
Yes.
But they played Haxall and Sabiolbi against Seoul. And I just don't understand why they did that. Like, it made no sense to me. Like, Nene just carried you through a win against the Guangzhou Charge. And then you And this is not anything against Sabe Yowlby. It seemed like Nene was just adapting to this meta a little bit better. Like, Sabe Yowlby played fine in some of their other games prior to this. So it wasn't anything, you know, I like Sabe Yowlby. I'm actually a really big fan of Sabe Yowlby's. So it was just more of Nene seemed to be like, it seemed like him and Haxel were just doing better with the heroes that are really strong in the meta. So why did you switch off of that? Why did you put Sabe Yowlby back in? I mean, I think people forget Nene won the Widow Duel tournament the 1 year, right? Am I misremembering that?
Yeah, I think so. It was weird. Like, you could tell SBB was like kind of having a harder time keeping up with Fitz on the other side, who Fitz had a great game for Seoul. That should really be included as well. Fitz had a very good game. Seoul still running the Jester Marvell tank line. At least it makes sense, though. They're running Jester, Roadhog, Marvell on the Sigma. You got to wonder if they keep that kind of composition going forward, or if maybe, I don't know, just because we know how like Seoul tends to be very good at very specific compositions.
Right. Oh, sorry. It was DM who won. How could I forget my boy DM was the one who won? But he beat Nene. And Nene beat like Pine and everybody else who everybody thought was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Sherfor didn't even get to defend his title last year, but
I think he said he wanted others to have fun and play in it, though.
It'll be, I don't know, man. It was a weird performance from New York. And then I think you could tell, at least to me, my read on it was that you could tell that Haxel was starting to feel the pressure a little bit, to where some of the EMPs were a little bit off, maybe a little bit early, or just not in the right spots, just because I think he felt the pressure of, I have to make the play because it's not happening without me. Same thing with Mono, where Mono unfortunately kind of gets caught out, where he's trying to make the hero play in certain positions, just because it wasn't really happening before.
It just seemed, I don't know, there was something was off that game, it felt like. I don't know if you would say it was them feeling the pressure, but...
So New York.
Yeah.
New York. For the third straight season, goes home empty-handed.
But they're always right there, though. They're always right there.
Always the bridesmaid, but never a bride.
You have to wonder what's going to happen with New York, because multiple times where you are clearly one of the best teams, this year it felt like there was a lot of different kinds of struggles for New York, but it did feel like they put a pretty good roster together, and that like this would maybe be the year where they had a chance, but I think that they figured out how good Bianca is. I'm excited to see more Bianca.
Mm.
I think they sort of found the niche that Hoppe fits into a little bit better and like what heroes he's best to play on. I just wonder if we'll see them stay together or not. Like, that's the biggest thing. I mean, the one thing that was taught that in that video that they kept playing during playoffs was it felt like a lot of finality to this roster in a way, you know? Like, oh, you know, I want to win with these guys and that sort of thing. I hope it's not, though. I really think the core of this team is still super talented. I think that they deserve at least one more chance. Bring in a couple other pieces and they can be really, really good.
Pick up Michelle. He's not playing for Seoul anytime soon. But
I mean, I don't think off tank is necessarily where the problem is, though, either.
You know, the problem is you need to bring in more DPS players. More DPS players.
They just need more variety in their DPS players. I don't know. And figure out how to use them.
New York is always missing that last piece of the puzzle to really make them like a top team. They had it season one and then it kind of fell apart. I'm really hoping they get it together with this roster, because this is like when we talk about like legacy rosters, I think New York might be like the last one.
One of the most put together rosters still, as far as like a team from the before times into the current state of Overwatch, you know, in the Overwatch League, like LW Blue, which was, I mean, they have forever been known as the choke team, but are you the Buffalo Bills, or are you going to be the Chicago Bulls, where you get close a few years in a row and then you finally conquer your demons?
We'll have to see. We did get information about Grand Finals weekend. We knew that there was going to be some time for quarantining, some time for practicing. I probably misjudged how much time. We'll be back with Overwatch action Thursday, October 8th for the beginning of grand finals weekend. And just so we'll give you guys a little, a small preview, mostly because we have 4 weeks. So we'll definitely revisit this, but we're going to get the Asian number 2 seed going up against the North American number 1 seed. So that's going to be the Seoul Dynasty versus the San Francisco Shock, and the North American 2 seed versus the Asia 1 seed. So Philly Fusion versus Shanghai Dragons. The winners of those two matches are going to play, and that will be the winner side of the bracket for the grand finals bracket. Losers bracket is going to be the losers from those two games who are going to play, and they're going to play the winner, the loser of the winners finals game. So yeah, so far we have those two matches. It'll be really, I'm really wondering what kind of news we're going to get in the next couple of weeks, because roster stuff is going to start becoming available soon. People can start not negotiating, but they can start talking to teams if their teams are out of playoffs. So I'm wondering what kind of news we're going to get.
Me too. I think it's there's a lot to sort of figure out in this time. You know, I think we'll start. I think some of those windows open up in between too, right? Like players mm-hmm. becoming free agents and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not surprised by the little bit of extra time, because I think in part it's to, one, get everybody there, but also to ensure, you know, sure, there's the 2-week quarantine that you have to do regardless, but say, you know, you end up having like players who can't make it for whatever reasons. I think it's to also give teams like ample time to find replacements for their players. I think that's maybe part of the reason why we have a little bit of extra time here to figure things out, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think take that time and get everybody there, because that's step one. And then playing the games is going to be the easy part. It's just getting everyone there that I think will be the most difficult aspect of all of this.
Do we think that Seoul is still going to be running Hog comps a month from now?
I mean, I don't know what patch they're going to be playing on, so I can't say whether or not that they will or not, because we could have a patch, like they could decide that we're playing on a different patch for the final four.
It would be just like Blizzard.
I mean, at this point, like, what's it change? You know, these teams, again, this is part of Overwatch. This is part of
they're giving.
Go ahead.
I heard they're giving Roadhog 2 guns.
I don't know if my sigh came through there because of my gate, but there was a loud audible sigh that I just had.
I mean,
oh my gosh.
Oh, Mr. Lobosco. See, this is the funny part, because he can make fun of me for all the bad things, for all the dumb stuff I've done in games with him before, and then I just get to remember the one time I pushed him off of the map on Ilios this weekend, and...
Well, no, okay, first off, you didn't push me off. I blinked off, okay? It was my own stupidity that killed me, not anything you did, okay? I won't give you that. I'll put it on myself.
Attaboy. We will have some fun stuff coming up in the next couple weeks. We're going to do a preview series, kind of similar to our season preview series that we did. We're going to be focusing on the individual four teams. It might be either 2 episodes or 4 episodes, but you'll hear about that soon enough. And then we're also going to be hopefully getting some more of our friends on here. I know there's some people we've been wanting to have on for a long time. So it'll be a good time. I'm excited for it. And you'll be hearing from us pretty soon. We'll have a game night in there at some point before playoffs come out. But I think that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode.
I'm excited. Playoffs has been so exciting. It's been a wild ride to get to this point. I'm really happy with the four teams that have gotten in. Seoul is that roster that you want to see there, right? Like, you think about when we were talking about before the season started and we saw this roster, like, this was the time of year we expected them to be playing. And they actually are. With the way the season happened for the Seoul Dynasty, I think there was definitely this part of us that thought this might not happen. I know, at least for myself, there was definitely that thought was there, but they've made it. They've done it. And I'm really excited to see what can come from that team in these final couple of games. But to me, it's the story, the biggest story going into these final four games is going to be about Shanghai and San Francisco. I'm also excited that Philly's there, But my God, Shanghai and San Francisco is what I'm looking forward to most, because it's probably going to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm. I really want to see that matchup. Before we head out for the night, just want to remind you the best thing you can do to help out the show is to leave us a review on your podcasting platform of choice. We always read every single new one, and we haven't gotten one in a while, excuse me. So please leave us a review on iTunes, and we'll read it out here for you guys. It makes it easier for us to know what you guys like and what we can improve about the show, and it makes it easier for people to find us as well.
We also invite you to join us in the Mash Those Buttons community, which you can do so by going to discord.me/mashthosebuttons. That's where you can play all of the game nights with us and everything else that we've been doing on the weekends. We've been doing it on Saturdays. I don't know if that's going to change or not, but we'll let you know there. So that's why you should go to join the Mash Those Buttons Discord so you can figure that stuff out and then play Overwatch with us and then join me in relentlessly ridiculing Ramses for his Overwatch play.
Bro, so I was going to say, I won a good amount of those games at the end. I will say, however, that was because I had LaFon or Spider on my team many of those times. But
when you have LaFon on your team and he's the best player in the lobby by a large margin, you better be winning those games, that's for sure. Patreon.com/mashthosebuttons is where you can go to join, donate directly to, or support the network directly. Little as a dollar a month, and you get access to Patreon exclusive content.
Yes, indeed. Loba, where can they find the show on Twitter?
Yes, put at pushpointpod. I thought you had something more to say about game night.
No,
so I was giving you room to talk.
My mistake.
At pushpointpod though is our Twitter handle, where you can find out, you know, when these episodes drop, see whatever thoughts and tweets and polls and whatever else we're doing during the week. Apparently I couldn't say week there for a second. pushthepoint@gmail.com if you want to do something more long form. And then those are the two ways that you can get in touch with the show.
If they want to get in touch with you specifically, whether it's about Overwatch, One Piece, or other things, where can they find you?
As I agonize about the Bears, even though they're 1-0, that would be that would be Labosco. At Labosco is my Twitter handle, and you'll see me tweet out a bunch of goofy stuff. And maybe I tweeted out about pugs too. I'm calling it pugs because I don't know. I don't know why I call it pugs on Twitter, but we pick up games when we're doing our game night. I'll probably start tweeting about that every time.
Sweet. You can find me on Twitter at Ramses_OW. Thanks for being here for this entire season. We only have a couple episodes left to cover season 3 before we head off into the off season. We ride off into the temporary sunset, and we're already approaching, like, I mean, granted it's a half a year away, but we're already at 81 episodes. Like, we're getting close to 100. It's weird to think about.
It is pretty crazy that we're almost to 100. That's wild to me that it's been that long already. It's funny. It feels like I've known you for years too. Mm. Is the funny part about it too.
It feels like we've been doing this thing for literally forever, and it's been a year and a half.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Man, that's just what happens when the entire world gets sick and California's on fire.
Yep.
So
stay safe if you're in California.
Stay safe. Yes. Stay safe. Breathe healthily. I know the air content's been pretty bad out here. So stay safe. Do what you can. Be good to people around you. All that. Wear a mask. Be safe. Again. We'll see you next week for episode 82 of Push the Point. Thanks for listening. We appreciate the heck out of it. And as always, have a good night. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.